Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 16. Hello everyone and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Season 16, Episode 7. And I think we've broken the record for correspondence incoming for the entire duration of The Dark Paranormal this week. And it's ranged from theories about episodes we've previously aired, to your experiences, to just comments in general. And we want all of that. I can't reiterate how much I mean it when I say the words, "This is your show." I am simply the conduit to repeat your experience to an audience of open-minded listeners. And yes, we've had a few emails asking, are we still accepting submissions for season 17? And the answer is always yes. Let's just say on record, always send your submissions in anytime. You don't need to wait for me to call out for an upcoming season, as I have done. You can send your experience anytime to contact@thedarkparanormal.com. You see, this show has become something very important to me because it's turned into something I never perceived it would. And what I mean by that is the support it seems to give people who have experienced something they can't explain. And also, there are no experts in the paranormal field, but being into the subject from the age of 8 and reading everything that I can long before the internet came along, I did think I had a good rounded knowledge of the paranormal. But this season in particular has shown me that my knowledge is nowhere near what I thought it was. Indeed, there are things out there, it would appear, that I couldn't even comprehend. And when I say the show helps people who've experienced things, I'm not saying that from my mind, I'm saying that from the many emails we receive each and every week saying I can relate to XYZ about a particular experience. And as we head down the final straight for season 16, it's made me realise not only is the show helping people, not only am I learning new things, but together we're also building a historical, almost, database of some amazing experiences in the paranormal realm. And again, I can only thank you guys for that. So please, if you have a paranormal experience or something you just want to say to the show or to maybe the listeners, drop your show a line by emailing contact@thedarkparanormal.com. Now, of course, I need to give a huge thank you to our wonderful team members over at Patreon. When you join our wonderful team at Patreon, not only will you receive every episode, be it a minisode, a debut, a finale, both ad-free and before everyone else, but you can also gain exclusive access to our Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites. Dark Bites releases each and every Sunday of the year, even on the downtime between seasons, meaning you never miss that paranormal fix. And it's a 30-minute show made up of the shorter experiences that we receive. And there are currently over 60 hours worth of Dark Bites episodes for you to go and binge. But I say this each week, it's the truth. The best thing about our Patreon team is its community. We've assembled a wonderful group of like-minded paranormal enthusiasts, and we'd love to extend an exclusive invitation just for you. Simply head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Just like the following wonderful new team members have: Lissaloo0909, Tracy, Sam Garza, Coco, Chandler, Naomi Klaus, Ren T, Shell Abug, Andrea Redmond, Aisha Lockett, Now and Zen, Mickey Walker, Paul Black, Pascal Quintero, Kirsten Lanawer, Lorna Monroe, Amy Shea, Kayla Likes, Britt, Jack Brown, Brittany Taylor, Tyler Jones, and Chenille Reen Greaves. Thank you so much for supporting the show, guys, and welcome to the team. I hope you enjoy all the early ad-free releases and, of course, access to the Dark Bites episodes. So, if you'd like to become one of our wonderful team members, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Now, for today's episode, I want to make a few things clear. Firstly, this episode should have been different, but the submitter, and it happens occasionally, has asked me to withdraw their submission. Which, of course, we abide by. It's fine, it's your safe space, and if you decide after submitting something you no longer want it read out, just let me know. Secondly, there are mentions of both self-harm and suicide within this episode, so please bear that in mind when listening. And finally, this experience was chosen through sheer serendipity. My copy of a book mentioned in this episode arrived through the mailbox as I was reading this email that had been sent. So I took that as a bit of a message. Maybe somebody needs to hear this experience. Who knows? It might be you. But right now, lower the lights. Make yourself comfortable and, most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door as we hear all about someone tormented by darkness. I'm a new listener to your show, and I've binged about 4 seasons in the last 2 weeks. So I thought I'd reach out and share my experience. I'm writing to tell you about a group of experiences that I had in my early teens up to my late 20s. It all started when I went and bought what I thought was a cool-looking gothic cross from a local jewellery store. I was 16 at that time, edgy and very much into the paranormal, specifically demons. I always had paranormal experiences as a growing child, but my parents would never believe me. With said experiences came the insomnia, and I'd go days without sleep. And when I did sleep, it was only for a couple of hours at a time. Very often there would be these nights when I'd be laying in bed, and I'd awake to see a woman stood in the corner of my room, just staring at me, not moving or saying anything. I was too scared to move, too scared to confront her. I guess we had this silent understanding. She was there and I was here. When I got my first paycheck from a new job, I went to the local jewellery store and bought a cross. Little did I know, on the back was one of the seals found in the Lesser Key of Solomon. I recognised it, but back then by no means did I think it was real. But I did get this eerie feeling from it. A few weeks went by before the paranormal activity started to worsen. First would be the scent of sulphur in my room whenever I'd go in. But rationally, I put that down to both me and my father smoking cigarettes in the house. But next, and this still sends chills down my spine today, I was trying really hard to fall asleep one night, and there was a growl that sounded like it was right next to my ear. And then the words, "Give it to me and you shall have your desires." I was very confused, but I was also holding the cross under my pillow as I was hiding it from my parents. Now, something you must understand about me is I was very suicidal back then. So that desire was for me to die. But I never acted on it. The following morning, I awoke, actually forgetting that it all happened. But I was shocked when I found what looked like claw marks all down the arm that had been holding that cross. This now became a nightly routine. The growls, my mental health deteriorating. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't talk to my family, and I had no friends to talk to. I kind of just accepted this is how it's going to be. After a few months, I sought out help from an old classmate. I knew they practiced Wicca, so I confided in her what had been happening. And she stared at me and, in shock, told me she thought it was a hellhound. I couldn't take that seriously. A demon dog. That said, I really love dogs, so humorously I thought maybe it was all meant to be. She gave me a ritual ring, telling me she thought it would help in exercising it. Around this time, I started to get ill. Maybe it was from an attempted possession, or the lack of sleep finally getting to me. All I knew is I had to try and get rid of this hellhound, or whatever it was. So, late one night, I armed myself with salt water, thinking it would work as well as holy water. And I went into the room and started chanting firmly, holding my ground, and nothing happened. Well, at first. But soon, my ceiling fanlight started to move slowly, and there were no windows open, there was no draft. And then the room got cold. I saw shadows dancing on the ceiling, spinning around the fan, almost like a shower drain. At that time, I felt like I was going to faint. I was still so sick and weak. But I persevered, and it stopped. Was it done? Was I free? Hell no. The next day, it was almost as if I was on my deathbed, and I was so ill that my worst nightmare happened. My parents confined me to my bedroom, saying I needed bed rest. It felt like it was months. I was unable to go into school, but the doctors couldn't find anything wrong. I was weak, I couldn't keep food down, and I was just in constant pain. And then came the nightmares. I started seeing things I could never know, like how people who had died, died. Was it real? I couldn't be sure. I had no way of verifying. And then I started seeing people who were alive dying in the future. There was one that has stuck with me now, 15 years later. I saw a single mum and her child in their home, and someone broke in, and they drowned the mother in front of the child. A year later, and I'm working in a restaurant job. I see a grandmother come in with a girl around my age, and when this girl sees me, her face drops in a mortified expression. It was the woman's daughter from my dream. But how did she recognize me? I've no idea. The apex of this sickness and what I still believe was an attempted possession was a dream where I was stood on a crossroads with three other people. Two out of the three were dead. The girl had her throat and wrist slit, and the guy had a bloody skull and was missing an eye. The last person, a girl, looked at me and said, "We are Legion. Join us. This is your last chance. We'll not take you rejecting us again." She repeated it a few more times, and when I awoke, I was covered in sweat, and the smell of sulfur in my room was so strong I thought I was going to be sick. I lay there, trying to come back to reality, and I looked at the foot of my bed where normally that woman would be standing, and my heart dropped, because there was no woman this time. Instead, it was a man with yellow eyes staring at me. No, not at me, through me. And then he smiled, and I fell back asleep. That next morning, I felt better. No, more than better, I felt stronger, happier. It was so strange that last night I was basically dying in bed, and now I'm magically better. And from this point, there was almost a full 12 months without any paranormal activity at all, in my presence or in my home. I even started going back to school again, and I was doing better with both my grades and my mental health. It didn't last long, though. My dad came home one day and asked me to get the decorations for Christmas from the basement. I cheerfully helped him out going into that dark, dingy basement. And then I felt that long, familiar chill go down my spine that I would always feel prior to something supernatural happening. But I chose to ignore it. That was the wrong move. Today's show is brought to you by Grundy's MD, MCT Wellness. And what MCTs, I hear you say? Well, an MCT is a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, it turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down excess fat in your body. And if people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly one in three American adults overweight? Well, Dr. Grundy, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch, one that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out the excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate that caloric bypass at home. And it's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is specifically designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy it, and what's more, it tastes incredible. So you get to enjoy a delicious drink and then watch as you start to feel slimmer and more energized. So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GrundyMD.com/darkparanormal and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular priced order, plus a 90-day money-back guarantee. So once more, that's GrundyMD.com/darkparanormal. Now let's have a quick break to talk to you about Policy Genius. It's September. It's back to school for many people. You start thinking of the year ahead. Will you get those work projects finished by the end of the year? And speaking of the end of the year, you have Thanksgiving, the holidays, they're all going to be upon us soon. Your brain is a whirlwind of plans, as it should be, because we're designed to survive by planning, but we don't plan that much when it comes to the end, i.e. when we're gone. It took me till last year to get life insurance for myself. And that's because life insurance felt a bit daunting, but Policy Genius makes this process a breeze. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. With Policy Genius's technology, you can compare quotes from America's top insurers in a few clicks and find your lowest price. And if you ever need help or guidance, they've an expert licensed support team to answer your questions, handle the paperwork, and advocate for you throughout the whole process. Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace for a reason. They don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, and their advice is unbiased. Everything else aside, the peace of mind you get from knowing your loved one's expenses are covered if anything happens to you is priceless. It's never too late to plan ahead, so head over to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see just how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As soon as I hit the threshold, it was like I entered another time, or another house, or something. The basement walls were all covered in blood, and I could hear moaning coming from somewhere. I froze, and I let out a, "Hello?" to no answer. I sighed, telling myself this is going to suck, but still I kept walking into what I thought was my basement. I followed the moaning through a doorway, and it was that girl that spoke to me in the dream. She was bound by chains and covered in cuts. "Holy fuck," I screamed in terror, taking a step back. But that step back was into a solid mass.
Please join us. It's the only way you can save us,
said the girl.
"Yes, join us,"
said a voice coming from behind me. "Leave me alone," I cried as arms gripped my shoulders.
"Come on, son. Just kill her. Kill her and be the chosen one,"
said the voice behind me. And like that, I woke up. Or was I asleep all along? I was in the basement and there was no blood. No grotesque woman in bondage. Just my parents' hoard of boxes and other crap. I got the decorations and I ran upstairs. My dad joked, saying it looks like I've seen a ghost. and my mum asked why my eyes were black and why I was crying. And just like that, I fell back into depression. But I also had a new resolve, and that was to find out as much as I could about this Legion. And also to find out if it was even a real thing or I was just schizophrenic. I began walking to the library every day to study up on demons and magic, fearing that the ritual that the girl had given to me so long ago was not what she said it was, and instead invited this Legion to come along and haunt me. The woman in the corner started to reappear in my room, this time with a sinister aura, like she meant harm to me. One night, I was laying in bed, reading a book, and I look up to the ceiling fan, which, once again, has started to move by its own accord. There's no breeze, there's no window open, there's only me in the room. Well, me and my creepy lady in the corner. Even though the lady soon disappeared, I prepared myself for whatever may come that night, but nothing did. At least, not whilst I was awake. Later that night, I awoke to a thud that sounded like it was right beside my head, which would be impossible because there was a wall there. Following that, my bed got heavy, like someone was crawling in it with me. The weight started moving up my legs and finally onto my chest. Then I smelt sulfur, and I said to myself, if this is the end, then I'm going to die with honour.
Join us,
said a voice from somewhere, but it wasn't English. Why me? I asked, trying to sound strong.
Your blood will free us,
it told me. Then kill me and be done with it, I yelled. I yelled it so loudly that it woke my parents and they both ran into my room. The weight that was on my chest was gone in that instant. And no one else was in the room, not that girl, not anyone. My parents demanded to know if I was on drugs or if I was suicidal. I told them no, and I started crying, trying to explain everything, but they obviously didn't believe me. Instead, they told me if this didn't stop, they'd have to put me in a mental hospital, only because they were scared for my safety. Looking back, that probably would have been for the best, to be honest. I didn't have issues outside of being at home. Maybe I could have been free, but I had something in the back of my head telling me that it would be the end of it for my parents. They would die, and then I would as well. I put on a fake smile after this and pretended nothing was happening. I began smoking cannabis at night, just to help me sleep, which not only did so, but also helped the dreams. Years later, we end up losing that house due to my mother's gambling addiction. So we lived in a motel for a while before we got another apartment. For a time, the paranormal activity seemed to have stopped, only because I wasn't in that house anymore. That's until one night. I was sleeping in bed, but I woke up, and I'm not sure what woke me up, but as I lay there, a face materialized out of nowhere and come flying into my face. Then it all began again. The woman had returned to the corner of this new bedroom. Something else, though, was in the closet. I hated that closet. I always felt like something dark was in there. So I thought if I blocked it off, I'd be safe. I set my jerry-rigged bed up so it was against the closet, making it useless. Now comes the darkest time of my life, and I think the paranormal activity I was experiencing only made it that much worse. I met a girl on Xbox, and originally, my intention was just to be friends, as I'd just gotten out of a 4-year-old relationship. and I didn't know at the time, but this girl was very troubled. It started out innocently enough. We exchanged numbers and we made plans to hang out at some point because she was two cities away from me. One night, we're talking on the phone and she seemed upset. I tried to console her and told her she could tell me what was bothering her. I wouldn't judge her, and I was being honest. I'm not a judgmental person. Next thing, she sends me some photos. Photos of herself, with fresh cuts on her body. It threw me back because I only knew one other person who self-harmed, and well, we aren't really friends anymore. But we got closer after that night, and then I began self-harming, and we both fed into each other, and that darkness that was in my bedroom was feeding into that. One thing led to another, and one night I was having a bad night. My parents were fighting, and I was hiding in my room. So me and this girl start talking on Skype, and she began self-harming. But she blamed me for why she was doing it. She blamed me for all of her problems. I had a meltdown and I ended up seeking psychiatric help. But her words that day still replay in my head today, effectively giving me PTSD. Whilst in the hospital, I met my fiancé. She was crying in the hallway one morning and I just said, "Hey, you look like you need a cigarette." And from that small offer, we've been together for the last 13 years. She came home with me to Mum and Dad, and we shared our experiences with the paranormal. She started to see the woman as well. But also, she unbarricaded the closet. One night, we were in bed and it was stormy outside. The lightning woke me up. I turned to face her, and it wasn't her. Instead, it was some twisted, evil-looking woman staring back at me, smiling a wicked smile. Another night, she'd gotten up to use the washroom, and when she came back, I saw the woman instead of her, and I went to throw my lamp at her. Thankfully, it was plugged into the wall. My parents and I had a falling out that summer, and we moved into her parents. And this is where the second spirit comes in. We lived in their basement for a short time, but during that time, we would see a shadow person in the corner of our eyes, almost sneaking up to us. To this very day, we still see this figure, but we both try to ignore it. We try to not give it any power. Back then, however, we didn't, and we fed into it. And we would notice stuff go missing, or we'd start blaming each other when things were moved around in the basement. We weren't with our parents for long, because my partner tried to take her life again. We'd broken up before this point, but obviously I still ensured she was okay. While she was in hospital, though, our puppy died from poisoning. I think it was one of the two spirits that follow us around. With that, I left, and I went back to my parents. And she soon followed, but so did the spirits. We lived like this for a while before returning to her parents, after her dad converted the basement into an apartment. Jumping a few years forward, and we had our first baby. I had to work early, so while my spouse moved upstairs with the baby, I stayed in the basement. Again, I fell into a deep depression, and this was around the time COVID began. One of the last nights I slept down there by myself, I remember waking up to banging on the door, but also to a man in a sky jacket standing by the door. I didn't think it was a spirit, I thought it was an intruder. So I pretended to stay asleep, watching him, and he just disappeared. After that, I was hyper-vigilant on making sure all the doors were locked. I won't go into the rest of the time that we spent in that place, only to say it wasn't pleasant. And her father definitely has some sort of dark spirit attached to him as well. Like myself, he's very in tune with paranormal sensing, as well as seeing things normal people would not. We are now in our own apartment, and thankfully, the woman no longer follows me. Well, as far as I know. But I do sometimes feel like someone still joins me in bed. I'll be laying there, and I'll feel the bed compress, like someone is jumping in the bed. But when I turn to look, there's no one there. Her father ended up moving in with us for a small time, and he brought some old family heirlooms. While he seemed happier with us, I still noticed a dark aura around him. And with that being said, I also felt it in his room. He left those heirlooms here when he left, and I assume that is the anchor for his spirits. So now it's the four of us, my spouse and I, and my daughter and son. And my son is starting to show signs of my gifts. And that scares the hell out of me, as I wouldn't wish my experiences on anyone. All the mental abuse, all of the physical trials I had to go through due to this paranormal activity, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, let alone my own son. If you or any of the people listening have any questions, feel free to reach out. I really enjoy your podcasts, and I like listening to everyone else's experiences. It's also nice to know I'm not alone. Anonymous. Well, thank you so much, Anonymous, for your submission that made it by sheer chance as episode 7 of season 16. And as I read your email through, I knew and know already there are people out there who are going to doubt part of your email. But here's the thing, and one of the main reasons I chose to read it, because initially, on first view, it can appear to be rather far-fetched even in the realm of the paranormal. However, there are two points you mention, and I won't say which ones they are, because I don't want to spoil a future episode, but there are two points you mention that two separate individual emails mention the exact same thing in regards to working with demons and the effect they can have on you. And when I say working with demons, I mean in the literal sense, allegedly being able to summon demons and make them do your bidding. And there is one other part that I can mention that did make me think, combined, these are things which I know have happened to other people. So therefore, those emails that you're not aware of have acted in a sort of validatory way to convince me to use your experience today. And that third thing, and we've covered it on another previous story, is when somebody purposefully gives someone an alleged spell to banish a being or an entity, but the spell or rite or incantation that they've passed on, and they're fully aware of it, is to do no such thing. It's either to pass something they have on them onto you, or they do it in the knowledge that you are going to pull something out of the darkness that's going to attach itself to you. The spell, the incantation, whatever it is, it's been given to you in malice. But it's certainly going to be a thought-provoking episode, because we all accept the idea of a lost dog who's passed away jumping up on your lap or your bed. But when we get into the realms of what our anonymous listener has just explained, we get into the realms of doubt or maybe casting aspersions. And my point being, we've really no right to do that. We're all entitled to our opinion, of course. And presented with respect, it's one hell of a debate to have. For me, it's the nuances within this experience which give it some credibility. For example, stating you hear a phrase in English, but you say you know it wasn't in English. That sort of individual specification would not be added on to a blatant lie. Again, that's just my opinion. But again, we're all entitled to our own. And part of me does believe also there is a world of difference between your bog-standard haunting and when people start messing around trying to summon demons. I'm not saying that's what you'd done intentionally, but you did recognise a seal from the Lesser Key of Solomon. And also, we don't know what that ritual was that was given to you by your alleged friend. But I do know, only from what you listeners have sent in, that demons seem to go for a certain type of person. And it's how you describe yourself. Someone who suffers with depression or has mental outlooks which are negative make for such easy pickings from that demonic realm, it would appear. So, Anonymous, once again, thank you for taking the time to write out and send in your experience for Episode 7 of Season 16. And one quick reminder to everyone, I appreciate that if you've sent something in and at the very last moment you don't want it read out, let me know and I will not read it out. But when, such as today, I receive that email the day before recording, it leaves me with much less time to do what I need to do. And therefore, if you're not sure you want your email reading out, don't send it in. It's quite simple. But I do urge you, I do say from the number of people who've said they've found it helpful, to write in your experience to contact@thedarkparanormal.com. For our Patreons, I will speak to you all again on Sunday for another installment of Dark Bites. And for everyone else, I'll see you on Wednesday for a minisode. And until then, remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always try and leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.